Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
I'm out of focus. What the hell? What's going on? This is how I'm starting my year off? Out of focus? Jeez Christ. Well, I am Eric. This is John.
Hello. What is going on with your camera?
That yeah, I weird. Got it fixed there. Now it's like, now you're seeing way too much of my lower torso. Get the moved up there.
Professionals we are, professionals.
This is your first time joining us. You're listening to the PHP podcast. We are a podcast that focuses on the PHP programming language, the PHP community, and our company, PHP Architect, which is a fantastic magazine that focuses on PHP language and the PHP community.
It's very recursive that way.
Yes, and we talk about other things as well, tech and whatever happens to interest us. John and I are the two, head guys at PHP Architect now. So you get a lot of insight by checking this out, and, you know, it's fun stuff. Anyways, we live stream every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific time.
Most Thursdays.
And our podcast is made a little extra special thanks to our listeners in our Discord, which you can also be a part of by going to discord.phparch.com. That's phparch.com, discord.phparch.com, and be part of the show. You'll see the conversations scrolling on the side there. Jeffrey Davison has already suggested a show title, which is what that exclamation point title is. If you're curious and would like to suggest a show title, that's how you do it. And yeah. I always feel like I'm forgetting something.
It's also made better by sponsorship from Honey Badger. About them.
Our sponsor on. This week is Honey Badger, who's been with us for a while. We do appreciate them. What else did I miss something else?
And we're brought to you by PHP Architect.
Brought to you by I think that's a
visit PHP Architect at phparch.com.
Happy 2025, John.
I cannot believe
2025 is in the rear view mirror now. I know. Crazy.
I wrote my first check yesterday and I had to write 2025 and I did not screw it up. Kids today don't understand that, but back in the day, you wrote a check everywhere you went to, and for the first couple of weeks you always wrote the wrong year.
I'm trying to figure out why you're writing a check today in today's age, but you know, you're an old guy.
We still have to send money to the government.
Oh, crap. That's right. That's the next big holiday.
And the government seems to be stupid, and they still only accept checks.
How was your holiday? So we have not had a show. We didn't have a show last week because it's day after Christmas, and we didn't have a show this week because it's day after New Year's. No, we decided to screw that. We're just going to rip this Band-Aid off and start 2025 off right here. How was your...
It was good. I got to answer Kaylin real quick. Yes, I wrote checks at grocery stores back in the day. Okay. I'm still recovering from something. Like, my kid's been sick. Like, everyone in the family's been sick for the past 2 weeks. It's been crazy. And while I feel mostly good, it's like just congestion. I'm just constantly coughing. Not constantly, but coughing a lot. It's just annoying.
You look terrible.
Thanks. It's my normal look.
Well, I know that.
But yeah, the holiday was good. I mean, I had my stepmom come in from New York and spend a week with us, which was really nice. Her first time visiting us for like the Christmas holiday in forever. I might have seen her when I was a kid at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. So that was nice to have her in town. Cool. How about yours?
It went good. You know, we didn't do a lot on actual Christmas because we didn't have the kids with us. The kid from San Francisco is down in Southern California, but they actually went down into Mexico to spend the holiday with their partner's family down there. And we were really excited about that because, you know, it's just nice to know that they're included. But so on Saturday, after Christmas, so whatever Saturday that was, everybody was together, and that's when we had our Christmas. So it was a good time. Good time. I'm an old man, though. I don't do a lot for New Year's anymore. It's like I stayed up past midnight, which is probably the first time I've done that in a very long time. And
the only reason I stayed up past midnight is my 10-year-old. Actually, both my kids wanted to stay up till midnight. Like 3 weeks ago, I told you I took my son to play broomball and he stayed up past midnight and it was a big deal. So he wanted to do it again, and the 8-year-old wanted to stay up as well. So we started watching a movie, and my 8-year-old was out like a light on the couch. He made it to 11, made it to 11 o'clock, and he just couldn't stay awake. So put him in bed.
Yep.
Me and the 10-year-old, we made it. We watched the ball drop.
Yeah. So it's going to be here in the U.S. It's going to be an interesting 2025, but we'll see how it goes. See how it gets started.
Interesting is the wrong word, but that's another point.
Yeah. Let's not get too much into that. Hey, if you have a keen eye and you happen to watch the live stream, you may have noticed something a little different. We have a new logo. Actually, we stole a logo. I got to be real honest with you here. I think I have it up here. I should be able to see that. Yeah, there's my Canva. So we have a new logo. So we have a design group. And our community corner, Scott Keckwarn, asked to get a new logo for community. Well, no, I'll take that back. Let's be real. He didn't ask for a new logo. I asked for a new logo because John's a horrible person and gave me nightmares. And I had to get a new logo created. So I got a new logo created for our community corner, and I like it. It's very cool, very nice looking. But our design team gives us a couple of ideas. And this was actually one of their ideas. And so when Scott said he liked the first one, I'm like, man, I really hate for this one to go to waste. I'm like, I'll use it for the podcast. So, I'm not sharing the right screen now. So yeah, when Scott said he wanted that other one, I'm like, I really hate for this logo to go to waste. I stole it for the show, and cool. So this is our new logo for this month. Maybe we'll switch ones.
Until I point out that we kind of decided to do away with the brackets.
Stop it. And I told you I'm okay with the brackets as a logo. As a logo, it's fine.
I know, so, but consistency. I know. Consistency.
Whatever, dude. Like, do you think Coca-Cola is, they have a Coca-Cola font? No, Coca-Cola is written like that as their logo. Get with it. See, this is what I have to put up with on a daily basis with this guy.
Stop making me laugh. I can't breathe right now.
Just give the show a little bit more time. It'll die off. Trust me. So, yeah. So that's another. Here, let's head on over to the tech website. Why don't we? If you head over to the tech website, John and I decided to do. What happened? Why is this here? Wait. This is not the right. Wait. What happened? Didn't that deploy?
I don't know.
It's right down here.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Not in the images.
Well, I said not as a logo. And this is not like this on mine. Anyways, we decided to do away with the whole bracket thing in text because honestly, it was created. It's a cool look and everything. It was nice to have consistency with the logo, John. But in recent years, and this, it was created a while back, like years ago, but in recent years with how popular Markdown has gotten, man, having those brackets and documents, what a pain in the ass, man. Holy smokes. So yeah, we've done away with it. And whenever you see us like an email form or something, we have regular letters now. Not that you guys care about that sort of thing, but
yeah, we got to change the title bar too. I noticed that has the brackets in it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. None of that should have brackets in it. Oh. I changed all that in the code, I thought. Maybe I did not.
Oh well.
So yeah, that's what the holidays went well. Yeah. Ready to take on 2025, I guess. See how things go.
Happy to be back at work getting code written, that's for sure. It's the holidays are it's nice having a bunch of family time, but I also enjoy what we do. So I kind of want to get back to it. And
yeah, we had some fun too, right? We started picking speakers for tech. Speaking of tech, PHP Tech 2025, the tech this year, the tech from this year will be May 20th through the 22nd. Making sure I had the right tab open. Back in Chicago, back in the same venue and all that. So real excited about that. And John and I finally started. We sent out the first round of acceptance emails. So if you haven't gotten your acceptance email yet, don't threat. Don't worry about it. We just sent out the first round. So we're still going through the talks. Everybody has to confirm that they're still on board. We've already had one person blow us off. So yeah,
did you tell me that?
Process. No, you knew that.
Oh, did I?
You responded to them.
Ah.
That very cool one that we wanted.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. I was bummed to see that.
Gotcha.
But yeah. Yeah, so the talks are coming into place, falling into place quite quickly, actually.
You brought up that tech is at the same venue, but we've been told by the venue that they've redone all of their rooms. Like, it's everything's been freshened. They've repaired, you know, things that may have been broken previously. So if you've been there in the past and you felt like the venue wasn't quite up to par, come check it out again. We're hoping that all the changes have been for the better.
Yeah, we haven't seen the changes ourselves yet, but no reason for us to think they didn't do anything but a great job. They seem to enjoy their work as much as we do. I'm excited to see what they did.
Yep, me too. Sounds like we should take a trip to Chicago early.
You think? I think so. Head out there, you know. Maybe when baseball season starts, we go out there early, catch a game. But yeah, man. Besides that, catching up with some friends, and John called me out, said I was thanking too many people at Christmas time in our Discord and stuff.
So. I said that? I don't think I said that at all.
Pretty sure that's what you said.
I thought it was amazing that you took the time and sent those messages out. It was very nice of you.
Yeah.
I think that's what I said to you was, you're awesome. I'm not.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, today snuck up on me a little bit, and I didn't really think through like the things I wanted to talk about. Like coding-wise, I feel like all the coding I've been doing recently has been non-PHP for a change, which really? Is very unlike me. I've gotten into our Ionix framework, which is the framework we use for our mobile applications. Did some work on the PHP Tech vendor logo or vendor app, and I'm not good at it. Like thank God for ChatGPT to even get me as far as I did. Because I 100% would have given up on it. And you might remember, we have a new mobile developer who definitely has their hands full currently with the work that they already have in their queue. So I had wanted to get ahead on the mobile app where I could. But I'm not a JavaScript person. Well documented. We talked about it on the show many times. I avoid JavaScript. One of the reasons why I love Livewire allows me to continue to avoid JavaScript. But there's a couple things that were irking me about the vendor app, and I just wanted to make sure we got ahead of it a little bit. And honestly, even if I didn't get it working, as long as I just made some progress, I was going to be happy. But I actually got things working. And again, I wouldn't have done it without ChatGPT. I wouldn't have done it without our mobile developer, because the one big thing I wanted to be able to do in the app was some functionality for an export for the vendors. And I could not see why it wasn't working. Like everything I coded, I felt like this would work. This should work. And even our mobile developer initially didn't see it. And he kept looking at it and we worked through it. But
yeah. Do you remember what it ended up being?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. So I was creating the list that needed to be exported, but I wasn't passing it to the actual import correctly. So the list had been created, and in my head, it was the whole file that I created was now created, but the list still needed to be passed to the export itself. And that got it working. So happy with that, man. I'm going to buckle down in 2025, and I'm going to get good at a JavaScript framework. I'm going to get that under my belt. And if it's going to be Angular, which is the default framework of Ionix, then that's what it's going to be. I'd rather get more into React a little bit. I think React is a more appealing framework to me. But yeah, one step at a time. I feel like it's like PHP frameworks, right? Once you get like a good understanding of one of them, you can kind of bounce around a little bit and just understand the quirks of the other ones.
That's the theory anyway. Yes.
I hope so, man.
What I want to do is work on the app as well, but I still need the whole figuring out how to build it. Are you using an emulator to run it? Or are you running it in a browser? Like, how are you testing?
Yeah, great question. So I'm installing it on my phones, but that was the other piece of the puzzle that our new developer kind of opened the door up for me, is the PWA aspect of it. So Ionix allows you to export to multiple platforms, and a progressive web app is one of the platforms. So in my conversations with him over the last couple of weeks, he's like, yeah, because there's a lot of things that are specific to the phone, right? So like scanning, for example, and using your phone to scan a QR code, right? It's more challenging to duplicate on the PWA, but for 90% of the stuff, especially for like styling, which that's another thing, we got Tailwind installed on these apps. So especially for styling, he'll kind of churn through all that really quick as a PWA, because he doesn't have to recompile anything. Whereas with Android and iOS, you basically have to go through this whole compiling process again when you're ready to test. And it's kind of a pain in the ass when you're just tweaking fonts and things like that. That's my understanding of it today. I don't know. That might change tomorrow, because I only half understand the things that are being thrown at me.
Gotta love that. We'll get there. I'll keep looking at it too. Sorry, I'm going to be distracted for like 30 seconds.
I've been distracted for like 24 minutes so far, to be honest with you.
Well, you know what that means. It means it's a good
time. It's time for a sponsor. We do want to thank HoneyBadger.io for sponsoring us. And it is something we stand behind here at PHP Architect. It's a product we use and we pay for. We've been paying for it much longer than they've been sponsoring us. So they have some catching up to do. But here's a new service. Well, not so new anymore, but one of the services from Honey Badger.
Splunk like querying without having to sell my kidneys? Nice. That's a direct quote from someone who just saw Honey Badger Insight, the new observability tool from the folks at honeybadger.io. Insights is a fresh approach to logging, performance monitoring, and observability. It's a bit like Splunk, Datadog, or CloudWatch Log, but with just the good parts and a reasonable price tag. Honey Badger helps you gain deeper visibility into what's happening inside your applications, letting you drill down into the details and step back to see patterns in your data. You'll love how easy it is to query your logs and events and create quick charts and dashboards. The best part is that it's available on Honey Badger's free tier as part of their comprehensive monitoring suite, which includes error tracking, uptime monitoring, status pages, and more. Get started for free, then pay as you grow, or choose a 30-day free trial to unlock the full power of Honey Badger right away. To get started, visit honeybadger.io/plans. That's honeybadger.io/plans.
Cool.
Thank you, yes, Honey Badger.
Thank you very much, Honey Badger. I don't think you and Jackie get enough credit for the work you two put into getting the actual magazine released. And I know it can't be easy, and I know life interrupts things, but you two do a fantastic job. And we got the December issue out, and I'm liking it, man.
And guess who wrote the editorial and finally this month? So thank you for all the work.
Fantastic writer.
Thank you for all the work you do as well.
Yeah.
Hey, you didn't get credit on the editorial. Whoops.
No, we never do. Yeah.
Sometimes
you do. I did do. And basically, if you're in our Discord, you don't need to read finally. It's basically what I posted in Discord. I just expanded it a lot. Yeah. Great work. If you are interested in writing for us, the magazine. So people always ask, that's a lie. I've never heard this question, but I'm going to go with the story. Why should I pay for PHP Architect? And here's why. You can win some of that money back. Not win. Sorry. You can earn some of that money back by writing for us. We pay the people who contribute to the magazine, not only the feature contributors, but the monthly columnists as well. And are we offered to pay? There's actually a few that bypass payment, which is beautiful. And we get a free subscription to the magazine as well. But if you'd like to make some money through PHP, you can offer to write for us like Corey Lent did. I like Corey. Corey helps us out a lot with the conference as well. And they contributed building a solid foundation, which I'm looking forward to. Here, I'll let you guys read this article for free right now. Boom. There it is. All you have to do is rewind that video and slow it down. You can read the whole column for free. Thank you, Corey. But you too can get some money by contributing. And that's why we still charge for the digital magazine. Yeah. We keep talking. We have some ideas, but for now, that's why we still charge for the digital magazine.
Yep. Because we have to pay people's.
Yep.
So it's a new year. And you know what that means for me? Broken tests that I've been fighting all day.
Awesome.
Or it turns out there were a handful of tests that are now broken just because of that month change. It was like,
you know, the month changes like every month in a year, but right?
the way it was written, it was crossing over the year and it didn't account for that change from December to January. And I think it's worked. Some of it may have been here in the past and worked fine, or because like one of it is subtract 4 days. It's doing some sort of date range thing in the test. So maybe we didn't have any PRs in the first few days. So on the fourth day, it worked fine. I don't know. But that's been my morning this morning, is finding those. It was like three or four of them, but I'm terrible at writing fixing the test and then running the test suite locally. I'm like, oh, I can fix this one. Push it up to Jenkins, let CI build, and like CI is like, hey, now this one's broken. Well, crap. I fixed that one. Push that one up. Now, versus, why don't I just run them all locally and figure it out? For me, it's like, I'd rather let CI do its thing while I can move on to something else so I can keep working.
That's funny. I actually had a similar issue with my mobile development, not month and year issue so much, but the vendor mobile app. If you haven't been to a tech in the past, and if you haven't, what the hell? Like, get to PHP Tech. But last year and the year before, the vendors had an app because we've been really concerned about, I think I have, yeah, I have my wife's test badge here, but we want to make sure we have privacy, right? So on our badges, there's a QR code on the back of the badge that they can scan. But all the QR code is a UUID. And then it's got to make sure the app's authorized, the person's authorized, blah, blah, blah. And then it makes a API call to get the information that user has said that they wanted to share with the vendor, and then the vendor gets the information. So it was very mind opening to see how much data some conferences put in their QR code. Cause I didn't realize a QR code could hold so much data, but like just emails. And I'm like, wait a minute. My email is just in this QR code. Like, what the hell, you know? But back to my problem. So I was doing work, and for some reason that API call wasn't working. Like I checked and it was hitting the server, but it wasn't returning the information. And it was my wife's badge, so I know that she's in there. And I'm like, man, what is going on with this thing? And then I remembered, and I haven't figured out how I'm going to account for this now, but. And it's an edge case. Like, it's not a real problem, but the application, the API looks at what conference is active and sees if that user is associated to that conference, and then we'll share it. And nobody's associated. Well, very few people are associated to the conference yet, because only a few people have bought the blind early bird. And here at PHP Architect, we haven't configured ourselves to be part of the conference. So that's why it wasn't working. I just need to go into the back end and associate her ID to the conference, and it should work. But it was just like really baffling. Like I really stressed out. I'm like, oh my God, what did I break? Because I'm pushing changes to the system all year long, but we only use that during the conference. I'm like, what did I break? Why can't I find it? It's not even giving me an error. What's going on? But yeah, it wasn't as bad as I thought. And I did eventually figure it out. Let's talk. Let's see. You got more things you want to talk about?
I'm sure. I got to move that around, get that over there.
So
yeah, have you seen, I was looking at the RFCs lately, and there's some new ones that I didn't know about that I'm excited for.
Lay it on me, man. I have not looked at RFCs in a while.
Yeah. One of them is the Error Backtraces version 2. I use backtraces all the time. When an exception is thrown, being able to figure out where it's at is super helpful. And you don't get that in a fatal error. And I've never understood why. And now there's an RFC to actually add that. So when you get a fatal error, you will actually get the backtrace.
Has voting happened? Oh, yeah, this is passing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, pulled. Wait, what are these different voting things? Oh, this vote determines if...
Defaulting it to 1. They don't want it to be on by default.
Got it. Oh, I see. All right, so it's definitely... looks like it's passing for sure. If you're not familiar with the process on PHP internals, when some new functionality... A new functionality is typically first somebody writes up a paper, ideally does some pseudo code around it and show how it would work or show what it would fix. And if there's an interest in it, people vote on it. And if it gets accepted, it gets merged and all that. So this is still in the voting. It looks like they're still voting on it.
I think so.
How can you tell how long voting is for? You know?
Way to put me on the spot. Status is voting up top. I don't know how long it's good for.
Yeah, but it looks like this one is approved. So I only say that because I've made this mistake before where I've seen an RFC and been like, oh, cool, this is coming to PHP, and only to find out, yeah, no, it's not. Nobody wants this, and it doesn't actually get approved. So just keep that in mind when we talk about RFCs. Doesn't mean that it's something that's actually happening. Cool, man.
What else you got? Yeah, so that one's exciting. Like I said, unfortunately, I'm a terrible coder, so I have fatal errors all the time, and being able to figure out why is going to be helpful. The other one that's currently in the voting phase is attributes on constants.
Attributes on constants.
Actually, I didn't even put a link to that one in Trello because
I'm not seeing that in our Trello board.
I don't use attributes enough as far as needing to use reflection to get attributes, and I think that's what this is about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a reason I didn't put it in Trello, is because I didn't completely follow it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using attributes more and more, but that's just because...
Have you? I don't think I've used them yet, and I feel bad. I feel like I'm a bad developer for not doing it.
So one, we use them a lot in Doctrine. It's a huge spot
for them. That makes sense. Yeah. That is true. I do know that.
And because... The project I work on, we use PHP Staniton.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of, like, when we override a method on a class, we tag it with override. And I think that's to make PHP Stan happy. Again, being a terrible developer, I don't know fully.
Yeah.
One that surprised me was deprecating the ability to pass your session ID in via get and post. One, who's still doing this and why? That's terrible. And realizing that, oh, that's still part of PHP is interesting.
And it's only a deprecation. So it's not even getting pulled out yet. It would pulled out the following version, right?
Right. Back only in the day. Yeah. I mean, that makes perfect sense. I remember back in the day using the session use trans SID.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So back in the day, this would be turned on, and we would add the session ID to every link that was output.
Yep. Exactly.
So that you could easily pass your cookie, not even the cookie, you're passing your session ID around on every page. Way too easy to hijack someone's account that way.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, like I said, more shocking that that is still a feature of PHP.
Mm-hmm.
And the last RFC that I'm excited about is the property hooks improvements. Again, we still aren't on PHP 8.4 only because of tooling, but I'm super excited about property hooks. And I don't know how to say their name, Elia Tovilo and then Larry Garfield, found that by making a small change, they can make property hooks as fast as just setting the property instead of using the underscore underscore get method. Mm-hmm. Not even setting, but getting.
Mm-hmm.
They're just talking about huge speed improvements that way. And there's a downside to making the change. You're not going to catch a recursive issue as early as we could. But at the same time, if you have a recursion issue in this, it's going to be there no matter what. Whether it's caught or not, you're going to find it and hopefully fix that. The speed improvements outweigh the benefit of learning about that earlier in the process. Cool, and then man. I'm sure there's going to be, your IDE is going to recognize that anyway, I'm sure, and say, hey, there's a potential recursion issue here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, these are all new changes, right? I mean, new things happen to the language all the time. So it's good to kind of keep up with this stuff. But we're kind of old dogs, right, John? I mean, I know I am. We do this for a living and try to keep up. But like occasionally things change. I'm like, wait a minute, this is a thing now? And I had that happen to me recently. I felt so stupid. So to manage my Git repos, I use a terminal application called LazyGit. Love this app. So fast, does everything I pretty much needed to do. And then occasionally I'll use whatever's built into PHP Storm, which I keep bouncing whether I care for that. But recently I had dropped down to the command line and was just checking status, and I needed to switch a branch. Was it the branch I switched? Is that what did it? I typed some command in, and I got a notice that said, hey, by the way, you should really be doing this the new way. I'm like, what? What new way are we talking about? I guess Git has like a ton of new commands now that we really should start learning. And this is the switch command. So to switch branches now, you don't do git checkout dash B, you know, whatever the branch name is, or just right. Git checkout if you're doing, you do git switch. And I'm like, that's stupid. That we already have that. No, actually, no, it does kind of make more sense now you say it that way. Yeah, I'm switching branches. Yeah, that makes more sense. Did you know about this feature?
I did not. I, like you said, old dog, I do things the old way.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. And I checked my Git install because I used brew to install my Git. And it's there. I guess that's how it knew to even tell me to start using right. it, is that it was there. Then there's like git restore to safely undo changes. I'm like, what do you mean git restore? What is this? I haven't used this one yet.
For those first two, it looks like they're just breaking up git checkout. Git checkout was overused. So they're like, no, now you're going to use switch for branch management, restore for file management versus doing everything that way.
Yeah, and I already had a shortcut for this. So, you know, I probably should go in and update my shortcut. But yeah, there's all sorts of things. Git maintenance? What is git maintenance? Automate repository health? What? I don't even know what this is. So all these links that we're talking about and all this wondering, all this stuff's going to be in the show notes after the show. So if you're listening to the podcast or you're watching this, you want to know where you can find this information, just look tomorrow, phparch.com, and pull up this show, and we'll have the show notes in there with all the links. But yeah, all sorts of new Git commands that I just did not even knew existed. I'm not great at Git anyways, but yeah. I'm sure if somebody had gone to a conference recently, they would have known. I should have probably attended. I can almost guarantee you this was covered at Tech last year, and I just did not go to that conference. Work trees. So here, not really. I can't really think of a good use case to use a work tree in PHP for PHP applications. But if you're working with a compiled app, work trees make a ton of sense. This is something I came to learn that Sarah uses a lot. And essentially it allows you to have multiple, I'm going to hack the way I say this, but please don't listen to me, but listen to me. It's like a way of having multiple checked out branches and working on multiple checked out branches. Although they're not checked out branches, it's a work tree. So you have a work tree with a feature that you're working on, but you don't have to check out a branch to work on it. You just have another work tree that has like your base install, and another work tree has something else.
I believe it puts it in different directories. So instead of checking out into your root directory, you're checking out. And it puts your branch in a directory, and then you can just switch into that. Doesn't work so well for PHP applications that require a web server to be able to access your public directory if it's now buried in different directories all the time.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting with something like Lando. Like, would it be your branch name .lando.dev versus your application?
Good question. I do not know. Well, no, because... Yeah, I can't. We're not going to figure that out today, right now.
Right.
Did you see recently? I just happened to stumble upon this. There's Lando integration in PHP Storm now.
No, I did not.
Yeah, so when you go to manage containers, like, where did I see that? Like, I remember it was like in the managed container spot, and it had a section for Lando. I'm like, wait, what? They have Lando? If you don't know what Lando is, it's just like a... easy way to manage multiple web containers, not even web containers, just multiple containers for development. So it's a great tool. I'll add that. What is it called? I think it's Lando.dev.
Yeah.
Yes. Lando.dev. I'll add this to the show notes as well. But yeah, great, great project. If you do a lot of spinning down a Lando container and then spinning up another Lando container because you need to change projects, Lando handles this. And essentially, there's not a whole lot of magic to it. The real thing that makes it beneficial is that Lando spins up a like proxy container. So it then maps all the other containers based on that with that proxy container. So you can kind of keep multiple containers running with all your apps running on different ports, even if they're all web apps. They're all web apps, they'll run on different ports, but Lando will have you access them all through port 80 through a naming convention. It's very nice. Kind of the same way Herd works today. Herd has it, or even some other Docker container things where you'd point it to a particular directory, and it would just assume every subdirectory in that directory is a site. Lando is a little different. You don't have to do that. You can have your Lando files spread all over the place. It's when you spin up that inside container, it registers with the proxy and handles all the mapping for you. Great project. I'll add this to the show notes. I believe we do have a column on Lando in PHP Architect at some point. Mm-hmm. That might be a lie, but if we don't, we should get one. Old dog, new tricks. Let me see. Oh, we talked about troubleshooting a little bit. I talked about troubleshooting a little bit. I do a lot of work with Laravel. Most of my work is with Laravel. I have a few that aren't Laravel apps, but most of my work is with Laravel. And as such, if you're in the Laravel world, and it's not Laravel specific anymore, Tinkerwell is a great little troubleshooter. if Tinker, the Tinker and Tinkerwell, I assume, comes from a Laravel artisan command called Laravel artisan Tinker, which would just drop you into the PHP, what's it, the RHEL or the, what's that called? The debugging tool?
I don't know.
REPL, R-E-P-L, is that it? So it's just a nice GUI to that, which is great. But Tinkerwell, I think there's a free version, maybe, maybe not. I don't know anymore. I pay for it. But it was a great little GUI for that. So you can go in there and troubleshoot stuff. Well, there's now a community effort to create a free, open source, I'm not going to say free, but we say open source version of Tinkerwell called Tweak PHP. It's a desktop application with a code editor and tweak your PHP code. If you look at it, it looks very much like Tinkerwell. This is very much how Tinkerwell looks. And yeah, it's cool. So if you can't afford Tinkerwell, or if you're a very, very hardcore open source person and only prefer to use projects that are open source, this might be a solution for you called Tweak PHP. I keep messing that up. Yeah, it's a thing. So that'll be in there as well.
I'm going to check that out. Yeah. PSYSH is PSYSH is another, that's like Tinker, I believe, but it's not Laravel specific. We brought it into the application I work on to be able to do that same thing, drop into a command line and access your code. So kind of boot up your application and then try and do things with it. We use a lot of troubleshooting. I think it's PSYSH, PSYSH.
Oh, yeah. I think this is correct.
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
I was bringing that into.
Yeah. All these tools out there.
That's the wrong one. That's not it.
That's
PSYSH. Link is in trucks. Links in Trello at the top.
Not that org. Let's not go that. Don't go there. Oh, did I check this out? Oh, that was actually it. It was that org.
Yeah.
All right, let's check it out. I'll show you something. We went to Cascadia PHP and talked to a developer from Microsoft who Josh. Worked on the Microsoft Edge browser. I wasn't call the guy out.
I'll call him out.
Fire, but Josh, yes. Who worked on the Microsoft Edge browser, which is a Chromium-based browser. It's Chromium-based, but who do you call it? Google's behind it, right? So he told us that one of the first things
Microsoft's
did...
Microsoft's behind it, right?
Yeah. No, Google's behind Chromium.
Oh, Chromium,
based, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Edge is Microsoft's implementation of the Chromium-based browser. So anyways, he said the first thing they did at Microsoft is they went through it and wanted to make sure they had as much privacy in the application while still giving the user a good experience. And he kind of let us know how many calls to Google they had pulled out of it. I don't remember the exact number, but it was a freaking lot of them. And it freaked me out. So I moved over to Edge. Not 100% on board with it, although I do like certain features, like the ability to do a split screen, which I don't know if that I can actually share that. Like, does that work if I split the screen? No, you can't see the split screen. But it's nice, like, when you're, like, doing a bunch of searching, you can set it up so everything you click on in your search will open up the split screen. But I say all that because I've been thinking more and more about where I'm sharing data. And I recently moved over to the iPhone. So I felt like it was a good opportunity for me to kind of start to break away from Google where I could. And even though I was on Edge, I refused to use Bing as my search. And I was using Google Chrome. I was still using Google for my search. But it bothered me a little bit. And I just started doing it a couple of weeks ago. And I got to say, it makes me feel good. And I've not been unhappy with it. I found a project that is a search engine that you host locally, and it pulls metadata from multiple search engines, so not just Google. But the key thing is it strips off all your personal people identifiable information. So it's doing like the, it's playing like a middleman to search these other search engines and get you results. So what you see right here is actually running on my Pop! OS machine. It's called Seer XNG. It's a Docker container. There's nothing to install. I mean, there's something to install, and you can install it on your hardware, but I just spun up the Docker container, and I put it on Cloudflare so that I could access it from outside my house, because my Pop! OS machine is a desktop that I have sitting in my office. It's fast. I don't worry about where my information is going or who gets my information, because I'm not signed in. There's no sign in here. It's just me, because it's my instance of search. And I got to say, man, I have not been unhappy with this.
Really?
I've been doing more and more like self-hosting things. Like I've always had like a Nextcloud service, which I just recently installed on my Pop! OS machine as well. And Nextcloud is like Dropbox, right? Or iCloud. And I honestly don't use it a ton, not as much as I probably should. But this is probably the one I use the absolute most, is a search engine. I use it all day, every day. I mean, I don't even go to the old search. And I have it as my default search in my browser. So even if I do a search in the toolbar, it searches through this engine. I gotta say, I'm super happy with this. As a little side note, PSH, this is where we're going to.
It gets. I can see that there are some results that I get based on geography, so I'm assuming it will pass that along.
I don't want to do that live. Let me see. Yeah. Let me see if I say McDonald's. Let's see if it does it. If it does a McDonald's near me. I don't know. Boop, 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 boop. Well, there is a map as well, which I've never used. No. If it does, I don't have it set up that way. So, yeah, it doesn't even know where I'm at. It's just giving me a bunch of...
But I like that concept of privacy and not wanting to...
What if I say near me? Even if I type in near me, no. It just has some address in India. So yeah, it doesn't. You might be able to configure that. This is a very basic install, so I don't have a lot of stuff in here configured. There's a whole tab here on privacy.
Did you include a link in the show notes?
No, because I hadn't planned on talking about it, but I will. Oh. I will do a search for it and put it in the show notes. Yeah, XNG, Seer XNG is what it's called, and I will add it to the show notes now that John mentioned that. Okay, cool. It's happening. All right. What else do we got? Where are we on time? Doing good. Okay. I'm a terminal guy, and you just use the Apple terminal, right?
No, I use iTerm.
You use iTerm? Okay. I was a big iTerm user for a long time.
iTerm too, yeah.
Yeah. A few months ago, I switched over to Kitty, and there's no driving force with the exception of it gave me some like nice look and feel on how I wanted my screen to look on my desktop. So I don't have any toolbars or anything. There's no bevel. It's just all terminal right there, which is what I like. That was the only reason I switched over to Kitty. I don't know if iTerm is. I think iTerm is GPU. Takes advantage of GPUs as well. But Kitty does also. But everybody kept talking about Ghost. Ghosty. Ghostty. Everybody kept talking about Ghosty. And it was right when I was looking to switch to Kitty. And I looked at Ghosty. And I'm like, okay, this looks like it'd be something fun to try, but it was in private beta, and it's no longer in private beta. It is a full-fledged application, or not full, it's publicly available. I don't have any good reason to tell you guys, if you are a terminal person, to switch, and here's why. A lot of the features that they talk about are things I had the same issue with Kitty as well. And quite honestly, iTerm are things that I don't think about because I use Teamwork. So like the splitting of screens, how I manage the splits, moving splits around or panels around. Like I do all that through Teamwork. So that's never been an issue for me. But as the native application, it's always kind of been clunky. And I think a lot of these projects have done a lot of work to try to address it. I still don't use it because I like having Teamwork. I like to be able to walk away or then, you know, take my iPad outside and tail scale into my laptop and fire up my terminal and be right where I left off. So that's not a big driving force for me. So Ghosty is a new terminal, GPU accelerated terminal, like Kitty. It even says right here, now that you look at it. Yeah, if you're into this sort of thing, maybe it's something you want to look at. It's fun, it's free, it's open source. Yeah, like this, tabs. Again, I guess technically I use tabs, but no, I don't take advantage of any of this stuff. None of it. But yeah, Ghosty is a new terminal out there. Exciting stuff.
Goes back to old dogs. This is what I got and this is what I use. I don't do anything fancy with it.
I like to make sure I get out there and try new things every now and then, but I am. If you didn't get anything good for Christmas, then treat yourself to an install of Ghosty. And it won't change anything. You'll still have a sucky Christmas, but you'll have a new terminal to use. Man, I told you we'll get into this a little bit because we have a little time to kill. I have been anti-VR for a very long time. Not that I have a problem. I shouldn't say anti-VR. I don't have a problem with VR. If you like VR, virtual reality, in case that wasn't clear. If you like VR, I don't have anything against you. But for me personally, the few times I tried VR, and this was years ago, the few times I tried VR, I didn't like the sensation of not seeing my surroundings. It bothered me. So I just never got into it. I liked augmented reality a lot. And as a matter of fact, when Apple announced their Apple goggles, is that what they call them?
Apple Vision.
Apple Vision. That was one of the big things they talked about, is the augmented reality mode. And I didn't keep up with VR and all the hardware out there. I even had a client that kept recommending me to get VR solution to do some testing, and I just never did it. But so again, didn't have an issue with it. Oculus, which is Facebook's VR headset, I saw a lot of the announcements of it. I saw Mark Zuckerberg's demos of it, and it just cringed me out. I'm like, oh, that looks like I will never, ever use that. Yeah, Oculus had released a Batman game. And I'm like, oh, Batman. And so the wife knows. There's two things. This is a thing I love about myself. If you ever need to buy me a gift, there are two things you can always gift me that I will appreciate. Batman and elephants. Matter of fact, one of my gifts from my wife this year was a little elephant. So I will always appreciate these. You never go wrong with that. But an Oculus is like an expense, right? I mean, it's like an expense. So I kind of like knew she was thinking it because she kept kind of prodding me at it a little bit. And my response was always, nah, I don't think that's the only thing I'll do. I'm not that interested in it. I don't think I'm going to do that. And she got it for me. She got me an Oculus. And first thing, Batman on Oculus, forget about it. It's so crazy, man. Like
crazy good or
crazy good. I mean, first off, it's VR. So like everywhere you look, you're in the game, right? So you're going through these tunnels and everything you look, you have, but you raise your hands up in front of you and it's Batman's hands. Like you can look down and see, you know, all the Batman gear, and look down at your chest and kind of see the top of the logo. And it's crazy good. So I haven't been playing that much. I played it a good amount when I got it and got a little motion sickness. I was like, nobody got it on film, fortunately.
I was going to say, please tell me there's video of this.
Nobody got it on film, but I was that guy who ended up punching the shelves behind me. So the Oculus has immersion mode, which is complete VR. And then it has transparent mode, which is like you can have a desktop, but there's a little camera so you can still see what's going on around you. So that was like, I'm like, okay, I kind of feel all right about this. But obviously in the game, you're in immersion mode, right? So I was going to combat training in my Batman game. And the first thing I did is I clicked over to transparent. I'm like, okay, where am I sitting? And I was at my desk. I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit here because there's nothing in front of me here. And I assumed, you know, it was going to be combat training. So there's going to be like a bunch of punching, right? And I was right. Like the first couple of things it teaches you is punching and uppercuts and this and that. I'm like, okay, I got all this. And about 10 minutes, 15 minutes into it, you know, I'm feeling good. So I moved to the next section. And it says, okay, so now when you're fighting, if you see a flash over to your side and somebody's sneaking up beside you, throw out a side punch. Like you can throw out a side punch like this. I'm like, okay, got it. Yeah. Do. And funny thing about it is I did like two of them. It didn't hit. It never even thought like where I was anymore. Did a couple of them. Didn't hit anything. That third one, boy, I made contact with my shelf. And stupid me. I'm like, wow, it tricked my brain into thinking it hurt my hand. I am not proud of that moment. But
oh, my goodness.
The more I sat there and where I realized my hand was actually hurting and I realized what I had done because I had heard all the crashing. And yeah, that was that. So now I have to, I do it myself. It's not like the wife came in and said, out of your office with this thing, but I sit in my family room and play it now. So, yeah, it's fun. It's cool. It's very cool. I will say that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of those things. I did early VR way back in the day. I can't remember what I played. It wasn't a great game, but it was still fun. But I handed it to my father-in-law. It was the old one where you put your phone in it. So it wasn't
That's what I had. Wasn't
dedicated. Mm-hmm. He hated it. Absolutely hated it. But I do want to get a new one. Like that Batman game sounds phenomenal.
Oh, but goodness. Yeah.
But
that's pretty much all
I'm trying to justify it. Yeah.
I hate the fact that, you know, you first get something and you do a bunch of exploring and somehow, some way, it wasn't a porn site, so nobody freak out. I ended up in a room full of kittens. Now that I say it out loud, I can understand why people would have thought what I was searching for would have led me to porn, but it wasn't. It was a room full of kittens. There were real kittens. And you look like you were in the room. You know, I had actually gotten there looking at different meditations that they offer. And one of them was a room full of kittens. I'm like, this is awesome. Let me try this. And I tried it. It was very enjoyable. Like I enjoyed the kittens very much. I tried to show it to the wife and kids. I couldn't remember how I got there. And I couldn't find like a history or anything. I'm like, no, serious. It was kittens. I promise you. It was like real kittens. And I'm like trying to find it. And of course I still haven't found it. I can't even find how to get back to the meditations, like all the different meditations they had. I can't find that, but I can't find any of it anymore. And then every time I go to a room, it drives me nuts. I'm getting old. I'm an old man now. I'm a grumpy old man. So there's the NBA experience where every day they have a game that if you log in and you go to the NBA experience, you sit courtside and you watch the game. You're watching the game live. I didn't realize you had to go during the game. I just thought that they showed games over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So I had gone during when there was the game and there were it was just showing highlights, which was actually a little frustrating because you didn't know what side of the court the highlight was happening. So you like find yourself doing a lot of this trying to find it. But like, so I'm at this NBA experience and there's freaking kids everywhere. Like, don't you still have to be like 16 or something to be on Facebook? There's so many kids. Hey, do you want to follow me? I'm like, no, I don't. Leave me alone. Go away, kid.
You're not by yourself. You're actually with other people.
You're with real. Yeah. That's the whole thing. Like, You can arrange to meet up with friends in these virtual spaces. That part would be kind of cool. Like to have like a
if I had friends, it would be cool.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, I mean, like they don't even have to be like good friends. They just have to be people you know with Oculus who want to do something cool. We can have a PHP Architect Day at the game or something, and you know, I'll just meet up there. But yeah, I can't.
Does that mean we got to get one for all the employees and have a meeting in Oculus World?
I would strongly recommend that. Wait, we'd have to pay for that. We should have our client do that and pay for it for all the team. Yeah, no. Yeah, I do think that was one of the demos they did when they were trying to sell the whole thing. And I don't know what
if we did that, could we get rid of Zoom and not pay for Zoom anymore?
It seems like, yeah, maybe. It'd be a wash, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. I mean, I'm just a grumpy old guy. I don't need to meet a bunch of randos on a video game. I did go to a bar in VR, which had age limits. And even that, I'm like, I don't know. Because I actually went there because they had bowling. It was a bar, but, you know, they had like all these like real games in the bar. Mm-hmm. And it was bowling. And I'm like, all right, let me go check this out. And yeah, that's the same thing. I don't need to go. I don't need to be around a bunch of random people in cyberspace. I really don't.
Speaking of bowling.
Look at you wearing your bowling shirt.
That's a different
one. Oh, that's a new one. Oh, nice.
Yeah. The wives of our team all got together and the entire team got shirts for our league.
For Christmas?
Yeah.
Nice. Very cool. All right, John.
I think that does it.
That's it. We're going to wrap it up. We're not doing our ending anymore. We got to come up with a new ending. I'm not happy with it. John's not happy with it. So, yeah. If you're not a subscriber to the magazine, please subscribe. It does help. It does make things nicer. Oh, yeah. That's, again, with the magazine. Unlike a blog post on the internet, not only do we pay the author, but like it's curated, right? We multiple people review it and look at it and stuff like that. So good information there. Yeah, that's That's it. That's it.
Thanks for hanging out with us for an hour.
See you next week. Bye. Bye.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.